This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Julia Zemiro.
Hi, this is James Rand.
Hi, this is Cameron Datto.
Hi, this is Bec Crummett.
Hey, this is the Potbellies.
Hi, this is Roger Sanchez.
Hi, this is Tina Cousins.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack from Fun.
Hi, this is Casey Donovan.
Hi, hello there.
Hi, this is Frank Woodley.
This is Pete Evans from My Kitchen Rules.
Hi, my name is Stephen K. Amos.
Hey there, I'm Adam Lambert.
Hi, this is Monica Martina.
Hello, this is Zoe Bagley.
Hi, I'm Cindy Lauper, and if you just want to have fun, do you? Keep listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello, I'm Peter Hitchener from Nine News.
Joy.
G'day, I'm Barry Bissell, and you're listening to Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, the mighty Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up.
Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I'm Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce new ways of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Big, big, big happy, happy sixth birthday to Chris and Cam. 6 years on air is no mean feat. So congratulations to the boys and for another great afternoon of music and jocularity, I think we might say. And there was mentions of jocks, was there?
Yeah.
Or jocularity? I think there was. And also to the Informer, bringing us news and events from around the world and locally. Every Monday to Thursday from 6:30 to 7, and to the lovely Tim Lennox, who doesn't often grace the Thursday night studio. So thank you, Tim, for reading the news. We've got Stephanie in the studio, or Stephanie in the house. People laugh when I say that. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi,
thanks.
Hello, Michelle.
Thank you for coming in again tonight, and the equally lovely Clayton.
This time with a functioning microphone.
With a functioning microphone. And thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening out there. If you want to participate in the conversation, which I'm quite sure you may want to do, send us a message at 0427JOY949. Send us an email on air at joy.org.au. So, I'd say probably about October and November of last year, we had two gorgeous, gorgeous young folks, Charlie and Emma from Headspace. They came in and thrilled us with the... They were so young and passionate about life and equality and education. They were truly inspirational. I've been trying to get some folks back in from Headspace for a long time. And tonight we have the lovely Sarah. Welcome to Stand Up Straight.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Have you been into Joy before?
No, I can't believe it. I think I've been listening to Joy for maybe 7 years. And I'm only 26. So when I was 19, I heard about it. And just walking in here, it's amazing. It's totally different to what I expected. It's you can just really feel the love here. I'm so excited to be here.
It is a really nice place. I'm wondering, do you remember how you first heard about Joy?
My auntie actually told me about it. She said there's this fabulous radio station that just plays gay anthems all day. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Isn't it funny? It's often the music that gets people in first up and then people tend to fall in love with presenters and shows. And
yeah.
There's quite a few different stories.
I was just going to say that, and you come into the studios and you decide to pick a gay anthem.
Yes. Which we may or may not play very, very soon. Yes. So, Sarah, as I said, we've had two of the guys in already from Headspace, and mental health is something that's is fairly important in my life, and talking about mental health. And I think the only way that we can be more comfortable about it is by talking about it. Personal stories, advice, and all ages, all sexualities, all people, all religions. Is that how you kind of feel about mental health in a general sense as well?
Absolutely. I think mental health is everyone has a mental health, just like everyone has a physical health, and we have to look after both in our life. And so I definitely believe that the more we share, the more we talk about it, the more we discuss, the more we can find similarities within our experiences and also tips within our experiences as well, because you never know who you're meeting who might be going through a similar struggle than you. They might have family going through a similar thing and they may know more or they may want to learn more. It's just I really am into sharing, especially when it comes to mental health issues.
Mm. Sarah, in looking and doing a bit of research about you, I discovered that fantastic Headspace clip, and obviously it was a series of those.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about putting that together.
Yeah, that was actually 2 days after I went to Mardi Gras and I marched in my first Mardi Gras, so I still have glitter in my hair in this clip.
You wouldn't have been glitter.
I didn't see the glitter.
You wouldn't have been the only one.
But it was great. It was so exciting. Like, a film crew came to where I live and got to see, like, my art studio and everything, and I just discussed, you know, my story when it comes to mental health, how I got through it, what has been really helpful for me and is still helpful for me in my everyday life. And it was a really exciting experience, but also daunting, because part of me was like, do I really want to just put myself so out there? But then I thought, you know what, you got to like practice what you preach, you know, like you've got to, you know, if you want people to share their story, you've got to share yours too.
I just found the whole clip very compelling, you know, and very easy to watch. I think they captured you very well, but it was the right length and great visuals. And a great story. And I, you know, the next one popped up and I thought I could sit here all evening and just watch clips of, you know, these Headspace clips. So they've done a great job in telling the story. And as Michelle said, you know, it's oftentimes the stories that draw people into an organisation like Headspace.
And it was uplifting. I didn't, you know, quite often people's stories, and justifiably horrendous and sad, and having now met you, it seems like it's an uplifting experience for you at times to talk about your mental health, because it maybe does it give you a sense of release or relief?
I think talking about your experience, you're right, it can really give you a sense of release, but it also is a part of like just being honest with yourself. And I'm really into being honest with yourself. And you can check those out on YouTube. If you just Google Headspace Stories, you'll get mine and a whole bunch of other young people who are sharing their story with mental health issues.
How many other stories are there?
Ooh, I would say off the top of my head, maybe 7.
Fantastic. Mm.
And all different, like varieties of stories. I think that's the key. And I think this is where, you know, maybe it's me sounding old, but this is the beauty of technology, I think, is the fact that there's so much at our fingertips 24/7 and you can hear your story in someone. We're going to come back and chat to Sarah in a minute. We're going to play her song of choice. Do you remember what that is, Sarah?
Like a Virgin by Madonna.
Tell us very, very quickly, why do you love Madonna?
Because I grew up with my older brother who was gay and we just grew up listening to old Madonna anthems and watching her concerts and everything. So this is a great one. I love it.
Well, sit back and enjoy. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Thank you.
be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand up straight on Joy 94.9. You have at the microphone Michelle, Stephanie Clayton and the lovely Sarah. And I dare say, would people describe you as bubbly? Is that one word they describe you as?
On a good day.
On a good day. Because you did enjoy that song just then of Madonna. You were...
Yes.
And that's interesting that you use that word, Michelle, because in your bio, yeah. Sarah, or whoever wrote your bio, you have described your background as culturally diverse and disadvantaged.
Yeah.
And then in one of your paintings that I've seen, you've written ethnic looking.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
That's
tell
a great
us a
word.
Little bit about your background and your cultural heritage, perhaps a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. So my mum actually migrated here from Italy. She came over on a boat. I guess she is, I don't know if we have an Australian dream, but you could say that. We grew up quite poor, like four kids in the house. Nothing, you know, no drugs, no alcohol, no gambling problems, just poor. Like, you know, just
yeah.
didn't happen.
And was that in Melbourne?
Yeah, that was in Melbourne. And I would say that, you know, my mum being a strong woman, she really pulled the family together, and she's quite a successful businesswoman now, so I'm very proud of her. But yeah, it was obviously it was a difficult childhood. It wasn't one with a lot of things or a lot of family holidays or, you know, whatever it is. And I think the ethnic, one of my paintings, I say young female and ethnic looking, which is actually something that someone said to me when they said along the lines of like, no one's going to listen to you because you're young female and ethnic looking.
Ooh.
And I was like, what? I didn't even realize I was ethnic looking.
How to motivate you, know? You. That's a great way to motivate
yeah,
you.
Well, that's exactly it. I've definitely, I spring from the haters, as Kanye West says.
Oh.
So, definitely people who have said things like that have just given me more drive in life for sure.
You've got a gay brother.
Yes.
Has he been a bit of a catalyst for you having a bit of the equality angle or that being an ally, that kind of thing? Has that sort of, or do you think you may have been anyway?
Absolutely. I would say definitely like growing up, like adoring my older brother who was gay, and he was about 10 years older than me. So he was always like quite influential in my life. My dad's best friend growing up was gay. And I never really, I can't remember a time when I didn't know what gay was. Mm. And so I think I'm even more of an ally and I'm really passionate about equality because I have worked in communities in the country where no one talks about being gay. No one's gay in the community.
So how do you stay quiet in those situations? I would guess it's a bit of a struggle.
I don't stay
you
quiet.
Don't tell me. So what do you do then?
I stay
you...
respectful, but I don't stay quiet for sure. I think it's really important just to normalize, like being gay. I grew up with being gay being normal. It was absolutely normal as a part of life. You know, it's as different as liking the color purple to liking the color pink. Like, so that's what I really try and bring out because I do work with young people. I'm a community development artist, so I work with young kids who are really struggling with their sexuality. And so that's why I'm more of an ally because it's like, hey, I grew up with it being normal. It can be normal. Like, it doesn't have to be this thing.
Talk about that working with young people. What is it that you're doing with young people? In what sense?
So I kind of go project to project. I've got a big passion for helping disengaged young people.
Explain what that means.
So they might have dropped out of high school. They might have that could be due to like family problems, mental illness, physical problems, but they're just not engaged in life, I guess. You know, they're not doing anything. And so I really like to engage them through art. I'm an artist. I'm really passionate about the power of art and how it can open up conversations. And I really believe that if you can create an artwork, you can start to create other things in your life. Wow. So I really use that as a tool, especially around careers and things like that.
And Sarah, I've looked at some of your artwork online and some of the very visual stuff, but also some of the dance. So
cool.
So you've got art everywhere, really, haven't you? It's not
it's
just
true,
a visual
yeah.
medium for you, not just painting.
Yeah.
You're actually creating theatre as well and dance.
Yeah. I use it really depends on what issue or what
I actually started off as an activist from a young age. I was really passionate about.
Hang on, can I just. So, how old is this girl? How old is she?
In Sarah's bio, I read that she was 25, and then before she came into the studio,
26.
Please don't tell me you're still 25. Please be 35. No, she's 26. I mean, it's extraordinary.
An activist, do you remember the first thing you stood on your soapbox for?
Starving kids in Africa.
But Africa has been an important part of your journey too, hasn't it?
It has, absolutely. I remember just seeing this documentary when I was really young, like early high school, and just being like, what? There are, you know, that's absolutely, like, you know, just being where you're born can have such a big impact on your life. And I was like, I was born in Australia. I'm very, like, aware of my privilege of being born in this country. You know, what can I do? And so, yeah, when I was 19, some friends started up an organization called Mayabuya, which did dance and life skills training in South Africa, and I went over.
What does Mayabuya mean?
It means bringing back what is lost.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful word? Yes. In Zulu.
Yeah.
And you were there for how long?
I was there for, I think, a month. Or maybe a bit less than a month. And we ran dance and life skills workshops, and I learnt more than I taught.
Well, the video clip that I saw where the kids were dancing to Believe was just extraordinary. The passion and the noise in the background and the cheering. It was,
Whenever I have a bad day, I just watch that, and it just makes me so happy. Like, just seeing, you know, we had maybe 50 kids who, you know, we taught them all different dance styles, and we also did life skills workshops and, you know, sexual health workshops, and then we all came together and did this fantastic community dance, and it was amazing, and it's so heartwarming.
Do you have the same discussions about mental health or depression, the black cloud and all of that stuff wherever you go? Do you find that you're able to talk about the same things just in either a different language or a different country? Is it still the same to have those conversations?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really important to be respectful of people's cultures as well. But we're all similar. You know, wherever you are in the world, you'll meet young people who hate high school and who have mental health problems or who don't like carrots. Like, we all, you know, we all have similarities. Wherever I travel, you know, I have traveled quite a lot in my short life so far, and I've definitely seen so many similarities with people, you know, and I think that's a beautiful thing about travelling.
Again, we're not going to harp on your age, although I think for people that want to get off their patoot and get inspired by you, they should, because you're doing a phenomenal thing in life. And there was a quote of yours, and well, I really love this. And if I didn't know you, I would have thought it's some 60, 70-year-old person that's got many, many, many grey hairs and life's experience. And you said, it's always important in life to be part of something bigger than yourself. It keeps you grounded in a way. Do what makes you feel good when you're driving home from work. Now, I read that today, and I have to say, and I'm not having a good mental health day myself, and I read that and I got a bit teary. Aww. Because that's wise words, and that's a whole way to live your life. Do you feel that that's a big statement, like I did?
It's definitely something I connect to well. I guess it's a part of just, you know, all you're saying is, you know, I'm so young and all this stuff. Like, I probably wouldn't say something like that had I not have gone through hardships or times when I was in my car crying because I hated what I was doing with my life. So, and the amazing people that I've met through doing art or working in the mental health sector, I think it's really important, yeah.
In the Headspace clip, Sarah, you mentioned that it was when you came back from time spent in the States that the darkness kind of descended on you.
Yeah.
Why do you think that happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you figured it out yet, but probably, yeah, I did live in LA for 2 years, and it was when I was kind of working as in film development and on TV shows, which seemed like so glamorous, but I would probably drive home and cry in my car because I hated it. So when I did come back, and I kind of came back just knowing that wasn't what I wanted to do, but not knowing what it was that I did want to do. And I was young and I was just so confused, and there was so much pressure to be successful and to be doing something. And
who from, though? From yourself internally or other people, or you're not going to make it?
I would say probably myself more than other people, but I think a lot of people, like, it's very easy for people to be like, oh, so what are you up to now, or what are you going to do next? Without realizing that that might be a really weighted question for someone.
And a pressure question too, I would think.
And perhaps to having achieved so much in such a short space of time, the expectation from everyone else and yourself was to continue achieving at that rate. But oftentimes it's good just to slow down and take a step back. And
totally. And reflect on, like, okay, what am I doing? What can I do better? What should I do next?
Do you think we don't reflect enough, perhaps, on what we have either achieved or what we're immersed in at the moment, and think, you know, maybe I am doing some good? Maybe we don't reflect enough.
Absolutely, and I think that we don't celebrate ourselves enough.
No, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Or appreciate things and give, you know, gratitude.
Yeah, and it's really hard to be like, I'm freaking awesome. Sorry, I'm sure
we
I'm
should
a swear word, but yeah.
No. You can awesome. Get away with that. Yeah.
Or, you know, this is awesome, and we're doing well. Or, you know, and we don't say it to each other enough as well. You know, just getting out of bed and brushing your hair, like, deserves a high five some days. So.
Especially if it is a struggle, and for some people, that getting out of bed is not possible.
Yeah.
And why don't we praise ourselves?
I don't know. We're too afraid to look up ourselves or something, you know. It's this whole, like, we can't love ourselves, but it's so important.
So, Sarah, you've obviously got triggers and you know your triggers now. What do you do? What's the kindest thing you do for yourself when you feel like things are sort of spiralling a little bit out of control?
Probably the kindest thing I do is just let myself be. And so if I'm in bed and I can't get out of bed and I'm going through a depression, the best thing I can do is go, you're doing all right. Like, instead of going, oh my God, you know, you're not getting out of bed, like, you're wasting your day and there's all this stuff to do and you're doing this and, you know, all of this stuff can make it so bad. By just being like, okay, I'm having a bad day, I'm going to lay in bed for a bit and then I'm going to get up and I might, you know, get myself a cup of tea, or I might write in my journal. All these things that really help me feel better.
Well, we've had a message come in from Stephen. Then we're going to go for a break in a second. Hello, Stand Up Straighters, loving the show and the inspirational message for tonight. Lots of exclamation marks. Keep up the awesomeness and breaking down the stigma. Communication is the key, which I think we've discovered. Love you guys, but love Michelle the most. Sorry, that's actually from my husband. Love you too, Stephen. We are chatting with Sarah. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
We are joined with Sarah, who perhaps we might say is inspirational. I think we will. I love talking to you. Don't you find... Now, I'm talking about yourself, Sarah, but do you find, Stephanie, that young people get a bad rap, and then when we have these amazing young people that come into the studio, and Clayton, you can be included in this conversation too. It just reinstates the faith that I have for the future. You know,
I couldn't agree more. As I was doing my research on Sarah, you know, we've had a whole week of really bad news.
Yeah.
And I read this and I just thought, you know what, we've got young people like this who are going to make everything okay. And I felt hopeful.
Yeah. I agree. And I feel that for young people to want to make the world a better place means they've either noticed and seen what's wrong or what troubles them or what needs to change, and to have the foresight to want to be part of a change or a better world. And I know that all sounds new agey, but I really believe that it's a special type of person that wants to see that sees things and then wants to make things better. Do you feel... Have I made you blush, Sarah?
Oh, dear.
Does it take more than
that? Yes, you have. No, well, thank you. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. I'm so humbled.
That's how we feel. So Headspace, tell us a little bit about what Headspace is, and then we'll talk about your involvement with the organisation.
Awesome. Yeah, so Headspace is Australia's national youth mental health organisation, and we have about 94, 95 Headspace centres around Australia, and we provide mental health care, you know, to everyone aged 12 to 25.
And you have drop-in centres, offices as well. Tell us a bit about those facilities.
Yeah, so the Headspace centres, the 95 that we have, they are like drop-in centres where you can see you know, every scent is different, and it really reflects the community that it's in. Mm-hmm. So it might have anything from doctors, GPs, psychologists, psychiatrists, sexual health nurses, drop-in art classes, support groups. So there's, you know, rainbow youth kind of support groups, and there's all, you know, so much happening there. They're just fantastic supports for communities.
Because one of your focuses is, it says that for young people's voices and opinions to remain front and centre, and I think that's really important. So how do you capture what's needed within the community that you're in at the time? So depending on where you are in Australia, there's going to be different needs, I would assume. So how do you know what's needed in the community?
Absolutely. So every single centre has a youth reference group. They can range from 5 people to 50 people who are all living in the community that the Headspace Centre is in, age 15 to 25, and they really do steer the centre into different directions, and they're really included in all aspects of the running of the centre. They might be included in job interviews for the clinicians. They might be included in planning programs. Some of them even get their own funding to run projects. They run support groups, you know, so much.
Sarah, are all these people volunteers?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Incredible.
Again, groups of people that want to do something better.
Absolutely, yeah. And
when working with youth, it's important to remember that if you have them, if they are disengaged, if you actually engage them in conversation about what they want and what they need, you're going to much more effectively re-engage them than if you just say, here's what you need.
Because they're listening to, firstly, it shows interest. I'm assuming the first thing, if you're interested in them, surely you're going to get the conversation back, and that's how you find your information.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What, is there a particular age group that frequent your centres more? Would you say it's like your mid-teens? Is it younger or?
It's really all ages. So I'm on High Energy, which is the National Youth Reference Group. And so every 2 years, Headspace hires 22 young people from across Australia. And we work nationally on campaigns and projects, as well as with the local centres as well. So I do a lot of kind of creative stuff with, you know, advertising campaigns and creative marketing, information sheets, things like that. But I really see, you know, all ages access Headspace Centres, and it's fantastic.
So what are some of the campaigns and projects that you're working on at the moment?
Well, the most recent one is called The Big Stigma. And, yeah so that came out of some research. So just, you know, a bit of backstory, 75% of mental health issues come out between the ages of 12 to 25, which is why Headspace facilitates that age group. And so
75%.
I know, that's 75%, that is, it is, isn't it?
So that's where it's really important to do early intervention, which is what Headspace really focuses on. And we had some research come out. So 1 in 4 young people will experience a mental health issue in their life. And of those 1 in 4, only 1 in 4 of that 1 in 4 will seek help. So a very small amount of people who actually have a mental health problem will seek the help they need. And that I know personally from my experience that once I actually got help for my mental health issues, my life just totally turned around and went to like new leaps and bounds.
Just also, if you are not able to contact Headspace, there's also Switchboard, which is 1800 184 527 as well. And there's Lifeline 13 11 14. So there's services for everyone, isn't there? And I think the thing that I like about Headspace is it's so focused on that age group. And run by people primarily in that age group as well. So it's not like you walk in at 18 and you've got a 50-year-old lady that's never had kids or something and couldn't comprehend or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, and just from our experience in meeting the 3 people that we've met from Headspace, they're all people that I would imagine people could relate to. I mean, you're all really engaging, friendly, you know, warm people. Mm. So...
What else with the big stigma? What's the
So what we did? So when we kind of identified that, you know, there's this huge stigma that Australians have towards getting help, towards helping out their mental health, we built this massive big sculpture that was in Spencer Street Station for a week, where people could actually come and pull a part of the sculpture apart. So the big sculpture was the big stigma, like how we've got the big pineapple.
So it's really tactile.
Banana. Yes. Yeah.
The big merino.
So
were you part of... the design of that sculpture?
I was a part of like the brainstorming and yeah, like the design and just feedback and things like that. And,
isn't that amazing? That's a cool idea. So do you think that it becomes a physical thing as well?
Absolutely, because you could then take that piece away from you. And on the other side of the piece, it had stories of people who had gone through mental health problems and how they sought help and things, you know, tips, etc. So you could actually take that part away. And breaking down the stigma was really, and taking that piece was you making a commitment that you're not going to hold a stigma towards your own mental health and people's mental health around you.
And what sort of interest did that garner, that statue? Was it something that was surrounded by people at all times? Was it a big conversation piece?
It was such an exciting week. Being there, it was so many people coming through, and because of Spencer Street Station, you had train stations from the country coming in. It was fantastic. A lot of like MPs, and we got lots of like political support as well, and you know, celebrities from MTV and all that coming around, and it was just absolutely buzzing and exciting. And it was so exciting to then also see people go online and share their mental health stories because they had seen the sculpture. And you can actually still go online. You can go to www.thebigstigma.com.au and virtually take off your own piece.
Wow. Can you describe what the stigma looked like?
It kind of looks like Grug.
Grug.
No, but it was like Grug, he was like this creature that I grew up with in books. Yeah. But it kind of just looked like this ugly, not like Grug, but it was this big, ugly kind of hut. Brown thing. So it was kind of gross. Like, it wasn't a pretty sculpture, and I was like, let's get this gross thing out of here. Let's tear it down. Let's take it away.
I don't know if this is the right word, but it's almost like a celebration of the stigma that you can then tear apart. So you've got to celebrate that it's there and it exists. I don't know if it's not quite the right word, but you acknowledge it and then you have to tear it down.
Absolutely. And that's how, like, you cannot get rid of your problems unless you acknowledge them first, you know? So it's all about acknowledging, look, we've got this problem, we've got this stigma, we've got people who are not well and they're not seeking help when it's, you know, they can do it. You know, we have the services to help them. So let's tear this down. Let's spread the word. Let's talk. Let's be open. And yeah, the big stigma.
I'm just going to, in a few seconds, pop through the big stigma onto the Facebook page for Stand Up Straight, which you can find.
Have a look at it.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic.
It's a bit like an igloo, like a layered igloo. So it's not white. It's
a mud hut.
As also a child of Grug, it does look like Grug.
Yeah, totally.
So do you remember any particular stories out of that stand out to you?
Oh, gosh, so many. We had quite a few young girls come from the Albert Road Medical Clinic who were on day release, which is a mental health facility. And it was just amazing talking to them as they were on their mental health journey to getting better and how they were taking their steps. And it was absolutely fantastic just to see them. That really warmed my heart.
Do you find it humbling?
Yeah, definitely. And I just think it's great. Like, the more we share, the better we will all be as a society.
Oh. She's a smart girl, isn't she? We're chatting with Sarah from Headspace. You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Hi, this is Adelaide, and you're listening to my mum, Stephanie, and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
It's really nice when we hear our kids. By Stephanie and I, we have this look across the desk of,
gooey eyes. Yeah.
It is gooey eyes. Being a gay radio station, GLBTI issues are forefront in most of our minds, I suppose, in some way, shape or form. So at Headspace, is there a specific program that has been or is being developed, or is there how do you tackle, if you do, tackle any differently GLBTI young people that come in?
Yeah, well, every single centre strives to really be inclusive of the community, and I think it's just really important to acknowledge that people from, I'm sorry, you say GLBTI, don't you? I say LGBTIQ. Yeah, we actually call it All Sorts, our Headspace group, our national Headspace group. We call it All Sorts. We came up with that name ourselves.
That is a really nice.
Isn't it nice?
There's quite a lot out there now. Everybody's using kind of different ones, but All Sorts is great.
Yeah, so we use that, and we run, you know, every centre will have different support You know, they might have support groups, they might have groups that run events or start things. And it's just really important to acknowledge that people from the All Sorts community do have a higher risk of having a mental health problem. Mm. And that's not because they're born with it or anything. It's because of the bullying and the homophobic
family
pressure.
Yeah.
You know, self-stigma as well that comes along with it. So I think it's really important that we all look after our friends and family who are from that community.
Self-stigma. That's mm. I've not heard that very often.
Well, definitely. I mean, you could have stress. You know, sometimes a lot of my friends who have come out, you know, they're so worried about what's going to happen. And when they do come out, it's a positive experience mm. for them.
But it's the fear of,
isn't
it?
It's that stress. It's that fear. Mm. It's the unknowing. And it's just about really putting yourself out there. That can be really hard.
If you linked back to that concept, you're probably more familiar with it, the self-hating Jew. Or the,
yeah. So like, the overactive
yeah,
guilt
it's
gland.
The same thing with self-hating gay. And yeah. They yeah. sort of, yeah, it certainly is that stigma that you grow up with until you realise that it's actually okay to be you.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And I think it's really important that we... everyone who has friends in the community and people in the community are more aware of mental health problems so that we can see it in our friends. Like, as friends, we're normally the first to see it. And we're normally the most influential as well in terms of helping our friends.
And Sarah, I guess that relates to family as well.
Mm.
And I ask that because you have a brother with mental health problems, I believe, and you put together a very special project around that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So about 7 years ago, my brother was diagnosed with schizophrenia, which is quite a severe mental health problem. And coming from a family who we weren't really quite aware of what mental health was, and, you know, 7 years ago wasn't really spoken about as much, it really shocked the family. And it really... it's quite a serious illness as well. So 6 years later, I decided to kind of create a one-woman show about my experience having a brother who was so close to me who had schizophrenia, and how it affected my family and my relationship with him. And I, thanks to Australia Council of the Arts, I put that on at Crack Theatre Festival in Newcastle last year. And it was actually a really amazing experience. I had people coming up to me afterwards being like, this is what my partner's going through. I had no idea what it was. Now I know and I can talk to him. I had people say, you know, I had schizophrenia. And it was really great to see your show and see, you know, just to be able to reflect on my own experience. It was a scary, scary thing to do. But I'm really glad I did it.
Why scary though? Because
I think
of
it was
the
just scary.
Content?
It was so personal.
Personal, yeah.
So scary. And my brother's still not well. Like, you know, and it's not like I couldn't have this happy ending to my show of like, and now he's better and he's got a job and he's, you know, got
and
a good friend.
And how did he see the performance?
He hasn't seen it yet. I do still want to do it for him. He has listened to... So what I did is I interviewed my whole family and I used voice recordings from my family. And my brother actually, he did the music to it. Mm. So he's worked on it in that, but he hasn't yet seen it and I really want to show it to him. So.
Is that your physical demeanor's changed as you've talked about this, and people can't see that obviously out there, but it's deeply personal to you, but it seems like it's something that you absolutely had to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think just talking about it, as we've been saying quite a bit, for years I didn't tell anyone what was happening to my brother. And a lot of people were like, you know, how's he going? You know, I haven't seen him around. Because, like, we were only 2 years apart. So he was friends with my friends. And as soon as, like, you start to say it, because it was this kind of, it made me feel like, oh, have we failed as a family? Mm-hmm. Has my mum failed? You know, like all these things that you feel with mental health, which are just... societal pressures and not true.
There's
a stigma, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it's something that is hard, but I was like, this is so hard that I need to share it because there's other people going through this. And it wasn't until, you know, I would share a little bit and then someone would be like, oh, my, you know, my cousin or my brother or my mum. Mm. And like, it's so common. And I think if we can share it more, we can then also start to improve the services as well.
That's interesting. So if we don't know what the problems are, you can't find a fix, can you? Really?
Exactly.
You don't know what you've got to fix.
Yeah, and if we're hiding these people and making them feel, you know, by not sharing, for example, my brother's illness, in a way I'm making him feel bad for having an illness. I'm not proud of him. You know, if he had cancer, I'd be like, my brother has cancer and I'm so proud that he's getting through every day and he has, you know, he's getting help and all this stuff. So I think it's just really important that we do the same with mental health problems.
if you have a physical problem, you can go to the doctor as many times as you want throughout a year. The system allows 10 visits a year for mental health. There's a big cultural difference between what we can do with our physical health and our mental.
Absolutely, yeah.
But people, it's if you've got a broken arm, everyone goes, oh, you poor thing, don't worry, I'll help carry your bags, I'll open the car door for you, I'll ... And people know how to, I think what it often is people know how to respond. With mental health, people don't know how to respond. So when you say, I'm having a bad day, sometimes it might just be from someone, oh, look, don't worry, you leave work early or you go do that, I'll take care of you. And for other people, it's, oh, yeah, get over it. It's just, it's just because it's cold and rainy and shitty day or whatever. People don't know how to react. They know whether physical or if you say someone's, got a physical illness. I think that's what it is.
Absolutely. If you've got a cold, your friend might come over and make you soup, But sometimes, and that's where I was saying before, it's really important as friends that we educate ourselves to help our friends with mental health problems, because we're the ones that could make all the difference. So I think it's really important to educate yourself, like do some online reading. If you want, I highly suggest getting mental health first aid, where you learn about different symptoms and how to treat them and how to help people in a crisis or whatever.
So is this like a top 10 list scenario? I mean, is this something anybody can access?
Mental health first aid, like St. John's does it and quite a few services do it. And it's just like getting your first aid, getting your physical first aid. You can get your mental health first aid.
Is any of this information on your website, on your Headspace website?
We'll check.
Should be, yeah. Or just Google mental health first aid in Melbourne or wherever you are in the world.
Or the little techno nerd over in the corner. We'll pop it on the Facebook page also.
Awesome.
Which you can find at Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9 if you Facebook search.
Which you need to go and do because we've got all our previous shows and podcasts. What do you wish people knew?
Not so much
knew?
On Facebook, by the way. That's on the
Oh, but that can still find.
Just go to the Facebook.
I'm just trying not to confuse the audience.
What do you wish people knew about mental health?
I wish people knew that just like your physical health could change any day, so could your mental health, and to not be prejudiced against people. And it's a part of life. It really is a part of life. Like, we're all going to get the cold, or we're all going to get a flu, or we're all going to get, diabetes, cancer, all of these things. And you know what? A mental health issue might come up in your life. So just because you might be fine now doesn't mean that you need to be ignorant of it. And I think it's really important to educate yourself.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
We are going to come back with some more from Sarah, and then we are going to wrap up the show very soon because the hour's just flown by,
don't
hasn't
they?
It?
We always say this. We need 2 hours, don't we?
We do need 2 hours. I'll leave that with you to discuss with James.
Click on the podcast tab via the new Joy website for the best of Joy. Joy.org.au.
You are with Michelle, Stephanie, Clayton and Sarah from Headspace. Learned a lot about the lovely young lady and who I think is quite an inspiration and I think, I'm going to get all new agey. We can all do something, and whether it's with a community organisation, whether it's going and sitting with an old person in the street that doesn't have anyone, there's so many things that people can do, I know. And it just, if nothing else, it just feels good too. Do you think?
It's true.
And is this part of what you, why you, not necessarily the reason for, but...
Yeah. Any musical theatre fans out there might know Avenue Q and the song, If You Help Others, You Can't Help Helping Yourself, which is very true.
Very true.
And here's another question for you. We've talked about, communication and how important that is. But there's beautiful footage of you in the Headspace clip of kayaking and, sitting by this beautiful lake. What are some of the other things that you do personally to get through, a dark day?
Yeah. Okay. So this is Sarah's Life by Sarah. I would say eating healthy and eating good food, like good food, like not saying go eat McDonald's, like eat, fresh food that can include like go to a patisserie, but, veggies and everything. sleeping well. Sleep is so important. Yeah. Sleep is extremely important. I think allowing yourself to sleep and rest is so important. Exercising, doing what you love, having projects that, you know, really give you a purpose. And just kind of doing what you love is, like, the ultimate for me. I'm a big, like, follow your dreams person, like, do your
thing.
And
being kind to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be kind to yourself.
Just, this is about being kind to yourself as well. Stephen sent a message in saying that he's a romantic. He forgot to say, when you go outside, have a look at the moon. That in itself, just something simple.
Oh, yes, well,
and
it is a beautiful moon.
So thank you, Stephen. We will all be looking at the moon. For people that need help or resources, what should they do?
Yeah, so how I sought help and how many people can seek help is by going to your GP and just having a chat with them, and they could send you to a psychologist, a counsellor. There's so many services out there now. So there's Headspace if you're between 12 and 25. There's Relationships Australia that can help you with relationship problems. Oh, there's just so much. And really just get those conversations going. Go to Headspace's website and yeah, just really have, you know, just take some time out to see what you're going to do.
VAC, I got told off the other day for that, also have a free first session free counselling service for GLBTI community.
Awesome.
And so if you want to head over to the VAC website, you'll find all the details.
And for our all sorts, is that what you...
Yeah,
So even if they rang Joy here, there is somebody on the desk will be able to point you in the direction. There's lots of resources and services as well that are available for our GLBTI family as well. Sarah, awesome. Thank you. You are, to use the word, you're a joy to have in the studio. You're an inspiration and keep doing the good stuff. You're doing an amazing job. You're
thank
positive.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Go support Headspace. Up next is the Spirit Lounge at 8 and then the Bears in the Woods at 9 o'clock. Great joy listening. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you,
Michelle. Sarah, again.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much, everyone.
You've been listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Night, bye. Everyone.
Good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.